Welcome to the crossover. It's February 26th. We're about 2 months removed from the end of the NFL season as far as it goes for fantasy purposes. And that means we're 2 months removed from this man becoming the first three-time winner in the history of the Retired Orangemen Fantasy Football League. My guest, Jake Cantor, what's up?
What's going on, bro? It's good to be back, but it's also just good to be talking to you.
It's also good to be talking to you, my friend. You just celebrated a birthday yesterday.
That's right. 34. That's Charles Oakley, Charles Barkley territory right there.
Wait, you're 34?
I am. 34.
Wow. For some reason, I thought you were a couple years younger than the rest of us.
Oh, that's probably because I look so freaking great.
Well, hold on a second. No, that's not it. as someone who professionally has to wear makeup every day, I'm confident that I look so much younger and better than everyone else in our league. But no, that's not it for you. No, I don't know. I guess I just assumed that you were in the 32 range.
Well, I was. I came in, like, I just kind of as a younger guy. Like, when I first showed up, I was Jason's brother's friend. Jason's brother's younger than him, so...
I think that you being Brian's friend, I just assumed you were a few years younger than us.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure that's what it was. When Brian and I would come and visit Syracuse, we were younger. You guys were already in upperclassmen. We were just, like, younger, so we probably just came off as younger.
Right. Now, I sent you a text message yesterday encouraging you to enjoy something on your birthday. Did that happen?
No. I mean, good things did happen, but not that thing. Not that magic. Okay. Not that magic. That magic wonderland.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking. I mean, I just...
No, but I appreciate you rooting for it.
I was looking out for you. I really was wishing you the best. And so I'm glad that we're able to get this update today.
Yeah, sure. I've been rooting for that since I thought it was possible to do it. I've been hoping for it.
Okay.
And I'm still dreaming the impossible dream. It's a Don Quixote situation.
You keep dreaming that dream, Jake Cantor.
I will.
Anything,
I will. Let's free
anything can happen.
I'll do it for Selma or something. I'll figure it out.
Damn it, you're smart enough and good enough and people like you.
I hope they like me enough in this particular case. They gotta like me a little bit more. They gotta like me just enough.
I mean, I can make a few calls and find someone who would like you enough.
You know what though? I'm gonna keep it the way it is right now.
Okay.
But in a bind, I know that nobody knows what we're talking about right now, but in a bind, I will, in push comes to shove, 5-10 years from now, I might hit you up.
No one has any idea what we're talking about. And I kind of like it that way.
Let him think. It's a mystery.
I kind of like it that way, to be honest with you. Man, the season feels like it ended such a long time ago.
It does. It feels that way. You know why? Because what I always do is that no matter how the season ends for me, there's a long period. As long as there's football being played up until the Super Bowl, I'm thinking about next year. Like, I'm thinking about who are the first X amount of picks, who is being kept, who's not being kept. I think about that nonstop, even though our season's over. And when football season's over, then it feels like it just kind of disappears.
Yeah, I mean, there is legitimately 7 months between when the Super Bowl finishes and to the beginning of the next season. 7 months. That's more than half the year we go without football. And I just don't know how. And even still, then there's a whole month where it's just BS football. It's preseason. So 8 months of non-real football, it really makes you appreciate how special those 4 to 5 months of real football.
Well, I think that's the recipe for it, right? Unlike the three other major sports, like football, it's found the sweet spot of just the enough time off that we miss it so much, but we're not forgetting about it. And they've also set up this amazing offseason of combine, of getting ready for the draft, OTAs, training. It's just training camp. They've just nailed it that even though we miss the actual action, we still get all the information. Right. And the information is a one-year season.
Right. And we, you know, when I worked at NFL Network and NFL Media, they stopped calling it the off season. It's called the non-playing season.
So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
You have the playing season and you have the non-playing season because, like you said, with the tentpole events of combine, the draft evaluation process, the draft, rookie camps, OTAs, mini camps, and now we're in a training camp. There's literally a couple of weeks in the off season where there's nothing happening and players disappear. But for the most part, I mean, especially as we've seen in recent years where it's been bad news, there's news happening pretty much every single day. There's something going on in the league.
Yeah. Well, players are so famous now. They're so much more famous than they were, I think, even like 15 years ago, that when they mess up, it's just news. I mean, I feel like, I don't think I'm wrong when I say that they made the same amount of mistakes they make now 20 years ago. But now, because of fantasy sports, we're invested so much more in the individual that the news becomes so much bigger.
Right. We're just hearing about them more often now. Like take a look at this Dez Bryant situation. There might be something. There might not be something. It may have happened 4 or 5 years ago. But it's dominated the last 4 days of headlines.
Right. And he's already losing the battle of public, I can't think of the phrase.
Public perception. Everyone already. Everyone already thinks he's a knucklehead as it is.
Yeah.
And if you throw this, you know, possible incident on top of it, it's not helping his case.
Well, it was interesting because I was talking to Jared that is with them. Jared called me up yesterday to wish me a happy birthday, and we were just talking about it. And, of course, he traded for Josh Gordon and Dez Bryant to keep them next year.
Of course. I was part of that. I was one half of that trade.
Right. And now it looks like he might not be able to – well, he's definitely not going to keep Gordon. So now it looks like there's a chance that he doesn't get to keep either of them because they're both mental cases. And he was – I mean, he was in like I give up the situation. Like, I don't know what I can do.
Imagine? So after he pulled off those trades, everyone was so quick to give him high praise. And oh, man, Jarrett's set up for next year. He's got the two best wide receivers, arguably, in the league. Now, the chances of Dez Bryant being suspended are very, very small. However, you know, you never know what's going to come out, and no one thought that Adrian Peterson was going to miss 15 games last year.
That's true, yeah.
No one expected Ray Rice to not play last year. So,
also true, yeah.
Could you imagine just the terrible luck if he makes these great moves, mortgages his whole 2014 season for 2015 and beyond, and neither guy gets to play? He doesn't get to keep either guy?
Yeah, I mean, he's already not keeping one of them, so it's just a matter of will Dez get suspended? I was talking to him about it. I honestly, even if there is a tape out there, I don't think that he should be suspended. I don't even care what's on it. The bottom line is that it was 5 years ago, and if there's no lawsuit against him, I just don't know how you can suspend a guy for something he did before he was in the NFL, and that has not. I don't know how you do that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But that being said, he's one slip up away from being totally done.
He really is. And think about this. This is partially the reason, along with the myriad off-field issues that Dez Bryant has had in the past. The Cowboys have a security guard watching him 24/7 that he has not been extended long-term with the type of guaranteed money you would expect from the best player at his position in the National Football League. He is going to be franchise tagged, and what he does from there on out will decide his playing future in Dallas. It's just so crazy to think that he is, you know, potentially one off the field slip up away from being in a Josh Gordon type situation where he's missing considerable time during the playing year.
Right. I mean, I think what's interesting is that Cowboys are in kind of an interesting spot now. They are a little afraid of giving DeMarco Murray long-term money because of the miles he has on him and the injury concerns. So I had been, you know, obviously at the end of the season, the story was, you know what, they're going to focus on Dez and not Murray, right? Murray was going to be the second banana as far as the signings were concerned.
Right.
That's everything I read. And so now, do they focus on Murray, or now do they wait to see what happens with Peterson and sign Peterson to, you know, like a 3-year? I don't know. Like, you know, are they going
to
wait on that?
Have to trade for Adrian Peterson. He still has 3 years left on his Vikings contract.
Okay.
So,
and Minnesota's not going to cut him.
Minnesota, in theory, would not cut him unless they receive great public outcry against bringing him back, or like what happened during the first week, 2 weeks of the playing season, the sponsors say, if you play this guy, we are pulling our sponsorship. So, having said that, it's just funny that it happens to Jarrett and that he calling in panic, and it's late February where we still have 6 months to go before any of us, well, some of us, me, will start even thinking about fantasy.
Well, this is a record for Jarrett. It's February 2015, and he already hates his 2015 team. So, like, he already hates his team.
That has to be some kind of ROFFL record, right?
I'm sure it does, which was, I'm guaranteeing, held by him.
Yeah, it was either held by him or Rich Kiss.
That's true. Rich Kiss after the Quentin Griffin pick, probably the earliest somebody hated their team in a draft room. Although, Jarrett, I have this great screen grab, I think, from when we were drafting in Vegas, and it was after his first pick, and he sent me a text message that said, "My team blows." And after his first pick.
That might be me next year. Let's take a look. Walk down memory lane to the wonderful season that was the 2014 season.
It was wonderful.
I don't know what you remember about the early part of the year. So I'm looking at your schedule and your results right now, and you were 3-3, kind of as one of those cusp teams, not where your season could go in either direction, to the playoffs. To the back half. Do you remember what was going through your head during that early part of the year, or is it just kind of a blur considering how you ended the season?
Well, what I remember was is that I wanted to trade Matt Ryan. I felt like I had a pretty good team, actually. I wasn't, even at 3-3, I felt like I was a playoff team and that I would make the playoffs. But I knew at that point, like, I wasn't going to win. Anything's possible. I mean, it's entirely possible that I could have won. But I didn't feel like I was going to win. I felt like Matt Ryan was, there were the issues with the offensive line with Atlanta for the last couple of weeks, and he was really falling off. So I knew I wanted to trade him. And so at that point, I had reached out to Mark and Rich about acquiring quarterbacks because I was, at that point, I feel like I could make a move. Those two teams were having rough beginning of the seasons, and I felt like, you know what, that Breeze and Rodgers couldn't be kept. So this is a situation where I can gain, they can gain. I had Julio Jones. I just picked up Beckham. I had T.Y. Hilton. I felt like I can flip one of those guys into a quarterback.
Right.
So that's what I wanted to do. I actually, before I even talked to Rich, I spoke to Mark. I wanted Rodgers.
Yeah. And you know, we all know how Rodgers' season ended the year. I mean, gosh, he told Packer fans to relax, and all he did was go out and win the MVP the rest of the year. So, you know, Breeze had his struggles during the season, partly to, you know, why the Saints kind of went in the tank this year. But you went the Breeze route, and you obviously didn't know it at the time, But man, you ended up giving up arguably the best young player in the league in Odell Beckham.
I gave Rich his two keepers next year. I traded Rich both of his keepers. I gave him Beckham and CJ Anderson. But the Beckham deal was funny. I can't complain because I ended up winning. But the interesting thing was Rich wanted T.Y. Hilton, and I went and gave it to him. And I really should have just offered him Julio Jones. In hindsight,
right?
And kept back. I mean, in hindsight, I should have been like, I'd take Jones and Ryan. And Beckham is so insanely good that it's hard to believe that he's not going to be on my team. But again, I can't.
Oh, right. I mean, that goes back to why I made my trade. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win immediately. I'm not thinking about the future. I can worry about the draft in August. I'm just trying to win right now. So, you hate to give up a player of that talent, Odell Beckham, Dez Bryant. But if you're trying to win right now, You play to win the game. So I'm not going to fault you for making the move. Like, you didn't know that he was going to be the most explosive wide receiver the league has seen in some years.
Yeah, he's really, I don't know. He's only got 1 year in the system. I don't know if he's the best wide receiver in football yet, but he's in the conversation.
He's getting there.
He's in the conversation.
I made the argument on our show that he saved Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning's job.
He definitely saved you. Yeah, I don't think there's doubt about it. You look at the before and after splits of Eli, it's night and day before he got there.
It's night and day. All of those guys were going to be on their way out. Coughlin was not going to get renewed. Eli, they were going to start thinking about the future and maybe evaluating the quarterback position, kind of like someone had the audacity to ask Bill Belichick about if it's time to evaluate the quarterback position after the loss against Kansas City, and he just kind of looked
right.
Funny. But it was a legitimate discussion that was being had by the New England media. And
right.
The same thing was happening in New York until Beckham just started pulling catches out of thin air.
I mean, what's interesting, another thing about the Beckham stuff in our league is that it just goes to show you, we talk about how much of the league is luck, and a lot of it is. But in this particular case, it's very much so. I had picked up Beckham on waivers, and I remember this as so clearly because I forgot what week it was. It was the week that he had come back, obviously. It was his first week. And I had the second waiver claim, and Parker had the first waiver claim. And I knew what was going to happen. That was also the week that Ronnie Hillman came in, and Ronnie Hillman took over the starting job in Denver. And Parker and I both really needed running backs because Rashard Jennings had been hurt.
Right.
And, Parker and I both put Ronnie Hillman as our number one choice for, I certainly did, and Parker did because he ended up getting him. Beckham I put as my second choice. And I got Beckham. And it just goes to show you that if I, if I had the first waiver priority, I would have taken Hillman.
That's crazy.
And the story
worked out.
Yeah, and obviously, no matter what happens with Beckham, and the fact that I traded Beckham, he's the reason I won because he's the reason I was able to get not just Breeze but with Olsen also. So those guys, both of those guys, even though Breeze had his ups and downs, both those guys kind of carried me at various points in the playoff run.
Yeah, Olsen had a fantastic year for Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did. So you're sitting at three.
I'm sorry.
You kind of make a move. You shake up the roster a little bit, and then you go on a fantastic run. You win 6 of the last 7 games. You score 150, 136, 120, 183 in some of the games coming down the stretch. You're putting off all kinds of points, and then you end up getting. What seed were you in the playoffs? Did you end up getting the?
I was the second seed. Yeah, I ended up. I was the third seed going into it, and and then the last week of the season, I put up a really impressive number, and
You want to put up 183 to beat Dave.
Yeah, and so I ended up getting the second seed. I jumped Josh.
Right. And then you end up You end up, which was a bummer because that was, I was actually hoping to get the 8 seed because Parker at number 1 seemed like he was the most vulnerable.
Isn't that amazing that you're not the only person that I heard say that?
Yeah.
You're not the first person that
I was very much hoping to get the 8 seed because I saw what was happening with you. You were a team I did not want to play. You beat me in your stretch down the run, and so I kind of knew what type of juggernaut you kind of had on your hands. And as it turned out, I got the 7 seed. I played you in the first round. You know, I had no chance, and you went on to do what you do. Now, getting into the playoffs, take me through your mindset to the playoffs. Did you feel like you were an unstoppable force and that the title was yours?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. I thought that, I knew I got very lucky. I thought the 8 team was very good. And then, again, just, Cam Newton got into a car accident,
Right.
And he has to play. I forgot who he even played. I don't know if he played Hoyer or Derek Anderson. I don't know who he played, but so VA got smoked. I thought Josh and VA had. I thought they had teams that were just as good as mine. And I was relying a lot on Breeze. Breeze won me, I think, the second playoff game. I didn't think I was going to win. I was very nervous about my third wide receiver spot. I had traded Beckham, and I traded for Pierre Garçon, hoping that he would be just a decent number 3, and I guess, he just doesn't really fit in with that offense and never really panned out. I made some nice, and also at the end of the year, all my guys were getting injured. Jones got injured and Hilton got injured.
Right.
At the end of the year, and so I was struggling with that. Ingram was struggling because all of New Orleans running backs were getting healthy, so Ingram was losing touches. So I was really nervous. I mean, I had the best pick in the draft, and I had the best in Bell, and Bell is the best pick and the best player, and that's probably why I won.
Man, what a win! And now you're the first to get to 3 championships. There's you. There's Parker. There's Rich and Navi all sitting there at number 2. What's it mean to you to be the first to number 3?
It actually means a lot, I have to say. I love doing this so much. I feel like I'm in a fraternity. I know I am. It is one, right? And
right.
It just means a lot to be, decent at this. I know that a lot of it's luck, but, you don't get 3 by accident. And, there's got to be some sort of skill set involved somewhere, somehow in that. So it's nice to be, it's also nice to win. I put a lot of time and energy, just like all of us do. I put a lot of time and energy into it, and it's nice to get the win. And I try not to rub it in people's faces, but it's going to be difficult in Foxborough/Boston/ one of the 5 states potentially that we go to. I don't rub in a little. I mean, I'm not going to pull a Rich Kiss. I'm gonna flaunt the fact that I'm going for a 4th one. I can tell you that much.
We'll get to the location of next year's draft in a second. But speaking of Rich Kiss, he is the 2013 winner. Won his second championship last year in miraculous fashion. Have you received the trophy from him yet? This is a big point of contention for me in this league, among other
things. I know it is.
Among other things.
You will be disappointed to hear that I do not have the trophy.
You do not have the trophy. So you have gone 2 months as champion. You have been the champion 2 months. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When the Patriots won the Super Bowl a little over 3 weeks ago, did they have a ceremony after the game and the commissioner gave the trophy to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? Did they do that?
That is a fact.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
So Paul Allen and Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, they didn't still get to keep the trophy for 7 months before sending it to the Patriots, no?
They did not wait till September to send the trophy over.
Oh, got it. Now, when the Spurs beat the Heat last June, did they have a big post-game ceremony and David Stern gave Greg Popovich and Tim Duncan, did he give them the trophy there in June right after they won?
That did happen.
No, oh, they did. So LeBron. That did happen. So LeBron didn't like FedEx the trophy to Tim Duncan like in October or anything.
That did not happen.
Oh, got it. So correct me if I'm wrong. You've been the champion now for almost 2 months, and you still don't have the championship trophy.
That is an accurate assessment on the current stands of the trophy.
Now, does that seem kind of silly to you that you don't have the trophy?
When you put it in that context, yes.
Great. I'm just curious now if you had the trophy since you are the champion. I'm looking at the official Retired Orangemen Fantasy Football League Yahoo website, and yes. It says 2014 first place 5 second stare. So I assume that you did win the championship 2 months ago.
No, that is confirmed. I did win.
Okay, you did. Okay, good. I can see the scores right here. It says 117.73 and the Kawani Kid 79.4. But you don't have the trophy that you rightfully won.
That part's true. I did rightfully win it.
Okay, I mean, you don't have the trophy.
That part is also true.
Okay, got it. Just checking. Now, the other thing that has been going on in the league is the location of the 2015 ROFFL draft. Now, you said that you wanted to bring this up.
Well, I wanted to know how you
were
feeling.
So I will let you bring this up on okay. my show.
Okay. Well, here was my point. Because I spoke to Nick during the Super Bowl weekend at Deep Creek Lake. Deep Creek Lake was awesome. It was the last time we were going to be there. Obviously, Mark's father sold the place.
This is the swan song of Deep.
It was a swan song, but it was glorious. It was a really nice way to go out. Brian and I actually drove down to Morgantown and went to the West Virginia Coliseum and saw a game down there, which was really nice.
Did you guys burn a couch at any point? Did you guys light any couches on fire?
No, we didn't. It's ironic that you say that because the people that bought the house were victims of a fire. So Mark's father thought it would be very nice, and it is, to leave all the furniture there for them because they bought everything.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So even though fire was a conversation that we had, we did not light anything on fire. We saved, we helped, Jason brought pillows, so that's going to be there for them. So that was also good.
Nice pillows are good.
So Deep Creek was great. But as we were there, I spoke to Nick about it. And I think, I still think that Nick and I are always going to disagree on this. And probably, in this, as rare as it is, I think Parker and I are just going to disagree on it also. But my point was simply that I don't think this... I guess my point was, I don't think this needs to be voted on. This shouldn't be in anybody else's hands but basically natural law. Like, Minnesota plays in Minneapolis. Like, we go to Minneapolis even though the team is named after the state, right? We're not going to St. Paul or Minnetonka or, wherever. And all Nick was saying, and I guess, and I don't want to speak for Parker, but I think Parker was saying as well, is that, even though it seems obvious, let's just have a vote. Minneapolis is going to win anyway. I think that was the point, is that Minneapolis is going to win anyway. Let's just have a vote because that's what we do. We vote on things. And I think that's their point. And even though I still think that, we don't need to have a vote on it. We should just go to Minneapolis because that's common sense. The argument for me saying that's common sense will always be that's common sense to me. And it might not be common sense to everybody.
But the definition, just give me a second while I look up the definition of common sense.
The first word.
It's just one of those things, why does everything have to be taken so literally? We don't need to vote on everything. That's not the point. We're watering down what it means to vote on something.
And And I think the interesting thing is that the flip argument is
plain
that
ordinary good judgment. That is the definition of common sense. That's not common sense to you. That is a rational person, of which I will argue that there are several non-rational people in the league. So maybe we do need to actually type this out. Plain, ordinary, good judgment.
Well, either way, I think that no matter what, I'm never active on GroupMe, but that was like the most... That was the most active I was, because it just seemed, and I guess because I was so like, what are we talking? My thing was like, I just didn't know what we were talking about. It was just, we're going to go to Minneapolis if Minnesota wins, right? Or we're going to go to, and obviously this is not going to happen in the near future, but if Nashville wins, or if Tennessee wins, we're going to go to Nashville, right? Like, I guess I didn't want anybody to have any crazy ideas and then take it there. So, like, in other words, if Tennessee wins, I'd like to go to Nashville with this group. And I guess I'm being selfish in saying that, but I think Nashville's probably a cool city, and it would probably be even better with this group of people. And if somebody said, you know what, let's go to the Blue Mountains instead, or the Smoky Mountains, whatever it's called over there on the east side of Tennessee, and it gained traction. Like, all right, let's go hiking in the Blue Mountains. Now, that, again, would probably be amazing. I guess I feel like I would be cheated out of Tennessee going to Nashville with everybody. But maybe that's just me being sort of selfish about where I want to go. But I also think Tennessee plays in Nashville. It's called the Tennessean, right? But they play in Nashville. That newspaper is in Nashville. I just felt like, why are we? I just felt like common sense wise, like why? What are we? We're going to Nashville, right? I mean, that's where we would go if Tennessee wins. But again, that's what I think, and I think that what Nick was trying to say was, I'm sure everybody else thinks that way also. Let's just vote on it. So I think your point, Brock, about we're watering down by having so many votes, which I don't disagree with, but the argument against it is we still should have votes. We should have votes for everything. It's not watering things down. It's just the way the league works. The league works based on a democratic vote, and we have to vote on everything because that's just the way it is, and that's just what we do. We vote on everything.
There's a difference between voting on scoring changes and ways to improve the league that need a defense in favor or for or against.
Right.
And that which, 32 teams are identified with 32 cities. And using, common sense, definition number one, a noun, plain, ordinary, good judgment. Again, of which I would argue several people do not possess this trait. So, I don't know what to do about those people. But for those that do, they know this is ridiculous, that this is such a debate on the grooming. I had to leave. I had to leave.
I know. I can't believe you left. Can I invite you back, please? Do you have to be invited back?
You can invite me to do anything you wish. I will not be coming back anytime soon.
No.
I will not be coming back anytime soon. I can't do it. I can't. You can't talk to people who don't possess... Hold on a second. Let me just read this one more time.
Definition number one, please.
Definition number one. Plain, ordinary, good judgment. And that was not being displayed when we were discussing this issue.
It was... I'm glad I was able to speak to Nick about it. I mean, I'm still going to... Nick and I are still probably going to end up on the other side of this one. But it was nice to at least speak. I think his point was, and even to your point, there's enough people with enough common sense who are just gonna, people are gonna, when they used to be called the Phoenix Cardinals, right? When Arizona wins, we're gonna vote for Phoenix, even though they play in Glendale, right? And I guess my argument was how far can we take this? The Cowboys don't play in Dallas, the Redskins don't play in D.C. I mean, are we gonna not go to Washington to D.C., or we would not go to Dallas if the Cowboys won. I find that hard to believe. So, you know, I think at that point, what my worry was that if we have a vote based on these cities that I thought were common sense, now we open it to every city. Like, even though it's named after the city, now, well, we have to vote for even those cities because, you know, we did, you know, when the Giants won, we chose Atlantic City.
Because here's the deal. Once you open the Pandora's box of voting, especially for this issue, you cannot close it. So let's exercise sound, practical, good, ordinary judgment on this, as the definition states.
Yeah, well, I was sort of ironic in a weird way that, well, first of all, Seattle didn't even win, but it was ironic that after the vote that Mark had sent out about what we should do if Seattle did win or anytime a team repeats, what's amazing is that, even and everybody saw what I voted for, but what's amazing is that what won was we voted for more voting.
By the way, what did win? Was there an email about that?
You didn't. So you know what the three options were? There were four options. Yeah, the Vegas option, I thought.
I did not receive an email that had these results.
Really? Okay. Well, so there was the four options. There was a Vegas. There was going to the runner-up. There was going to a city that represents a city nearby that's sort of a non-football city, I guess, that kind of represents the area. So if Seattle won again, it would be like Portland or Vancouver. And the fourth one was, in this situation, we would have to again vote. So, for example, if Seattle did in fact win, then we would again get another vote in which we would have to vote for Seattle or Boston, but we would also have to vote for if New England, we would have to vote for a New England representative city first.
That is insane. These people.
That's the one that won. That's the one that won.
Are the most. I mean, here's what I want to know. Does everyone else in this league take actual voting as serious as they do this stupid league that we're in?
I would hope so. I voted for the representative city. I thought that was kind of in the most spirit of the idea of traveling from city to city. You know, don't go to Seattle, but Portland.
We were in Portland. How much Seahawks gear did you see? Zero. You know what team they root for in Portland, Oregon? The Oregon Ducks.
Ducks, yeah.
Okay. Do they like football in Vancouver? No.
No. Do they have a Canadian football team there?
No. They like hockey. So the idea that Portland and Vancouver are representative of the Seahawk area fan base is couldn't be further from the truth.
That's a good point. I guess they were thinking more of a representative city of that region of the country.
Hey, let's go to cool places that Mark and Jason want to visit.
I don't think that was what it was based on. I think that it was.
Guys haven't run a 10K in Portland and Vancouver lately. Let's go there if the Seahawks win.
I don't think Mark's ever run a 10K. I think I'm gonna have the pleasure of doing that with him first. But I was very surprised what ended up winning, which was a vote for more voting.
A vote for more voting.
That's what won. It was a vote for more voting. What ended up winning was, if a team does repeat, in the unlikely situation that that does happen, we will have a vote on which city we'll go to, the winner or the runner-up.
Preposterous. Preposterous. I'm done with this topic. What did you think of the Oscars?
I thought they were awful. I mean, are you talking about who won or the actual
let's
show?
Let's talk first about the show.
The show was terrible. I thought that I laughed at one Doogie joke. After Simmons won, after J.K. Simmons won, he did a We Are Farmers joke.
Which was pretty funny.
I like that. But but that was it for him. I thought it was, I mean, listen, I'm on the East Coast, right? So this is, we're going, it's 11:45, and they haven't even announced who's the best director. I mean, it's ridiculous. So
why did Neil Patrick Harris fail in your mind as a host? Because he's so good at hosting. So why, or is just the Oscars kind of an impossible task? Because Ellen was terrible last year. I personally thought Seth MacFarlane was pretty funny just because it was so different. But, you know, the industry types, you know, weren't big fans. Why do people fail in this position as host of the Oscars?
Interesting. I think it can't be impossible because Chris Hill did it all those years and he did a good job. And Martin did it those years for a little bit, and he did really good. It's not like there's much. I think the problem are the producers more than they are the hosts. I mean, the host job really should be the first 10 minutes, and then that's it. Then they really should be done. I mean, there really shouldn't be any other vignette. It should be the first 10 minutes, introduce the presenters with maybe one or two witty lines, and then move on. I don't think there's a need for them to do anything else. So.
Right.
That's the real issue, and I think that with as far as Harris is concerned, you know what, he's there to do songs and dances. I mean, I thought the opening number was fine, and that's all. I mean, he's not a joke writer, and he's funny when he's delivering lines written by funny people, I don't think he has the capability to go on stage after a joke writer just wrote a joke for him 5 seconds ago. And just execute. And he's just not funny. He's not a comedian. He does some funny things. He's a great performer. You know, the Tonys is his thing. You know, that's the audience that wants to see him. If the audience that saw the Oscars saw the Tonys every year, I don't think they would be considered such a great host.
Right.
You know, it's a different audience. As far as the winners and losers are concerned, I saw just about every movie. I didn't see Selma.
I saw six out of the eight. You know, it's a great story, but Selma didn't really interest me, and I didn't get a chance to see Boyhood, which I had, you know, I had little interest in, kind of to begin with. But the, you know, the six that I did see were fantastic. I was okay with Birdman winning. I would have been okay with Whiplash winning. I thought that movie was just remarkable.
That was I've been talking about that to the guys on the East Coast. That was, who have not, Mark, Jason, and Brian, I've not seen it. That was my favorite movie of the year, not even close. I mean, it was so, and also I'm a teacher, so there's like an extra little.
Sure.
There's an extra little thing there for me, just like kind of watching it as it goes, but it was great. And I'm glad that it won so many awards because I was surprised that it won a couple of the technical awards, you know, best editor and things like that. I thought for sure that Birdman was going to win best editor because they edited it together to make it look like one shot the entire film.
Right.
But I was glad that it won that, and it won for like sound editing, I think, or something. But I'm glad it did that. Maybe it rose a little bit of awareness. It will raise a little bit of awareness of the movie because it was so good. I knew it had no shot of winning best picture, but that was my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, it was remarkable. And I really enjoyed Imitation Game.
I like that one too, yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch was awesome. Keira Knightley was awesome. And as far as individual performances, you know, when I watched Birdman, I thought Michael Keaton was going to win. And then I watched Theory of Everything. And Eddie Redmayne was unbelievable.
Yeah, he dropped the mic on that one. My one problem with the Theory of Everything was I personally didn't love that movie. I have a problem with it trying to pretend that it's sort of this amazing love story, but you can't forget about the third act. Like, you can't just forget that happens, that, you know.
Oh, that he
becomes famous. He becomes famous and leaves his wife.
His wife for, like, his speech coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't forget. I mean, well, she's amazing in it, but.
In the guy in the wheelchair's defense, I mean, she sort of had an emotional affair with the choir teacher.
That's fair. Fair thing, but I also think that she probably. Well, it's, you know, it actually brings it to an interesting conversation because you know, while he's amazingly managed to survive, do you think, I don't think they explore this enough, that when she married him, she thought to herself, well, I'm only going to have to, I love him, and I'm only going to have to do this for a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. You know, I saw it.
You know, like, I'm going to have to do this for a few years, and then he's going to die, and then I can kind of move on with my life.
Sure. And, you know, it's based on the book that his wife wrote. I saw an interesting article yesterday. I didn't get a chance to finish it. But Stephen Hawking has lived the longest out of any person in the history of the world with ALS. And so I'm sure that it was not expected that he was going to obviously live into his 70s when he was diagnosed at age 21.
Yeah, I mean, and that in itself is a miracle, and I guess I think I probably would have been more interested to see just the movie based on him and
their quote-unquote love story.
Yeah, than that. I think that's what, but he was amazing in it. But I always try to, when I look at actors and they win the awards, I always like to give the best actor award to people that are, like, truly making up a character out of, like, thin air, like, so, like, even though Michael Keaton's probably playing a version of himself,
right?
You know, he had to make like real choices with that character. He had to make like real choices as an actor, like, to do this. Whereas as Redmayne, he's amazing in the movie, but Redmayne is essentially trying to imitate somebody else. Right? Like, there's no personal choice being made. Like, this is how he reacted, so I have to react.
Right. He,
you know,
met with Stephen Hawking several times to kind of and get it all down, and he's going off real life experiences.
Exactly. So I would have liked to see Keaton win. Plus, Keaton's probably not going to get another chance to win, and he deserves a bit of a Lifetime Achievement Award because, you know, don't forget, this man did not get nominated for Beetlejuice. So let's think about that.
Which is insane. How did he not? Who? You know what? This is. Hold on. Who won Best Supporting Actor that year when Beetlejuice came out?
I want to say Beetlejuice was 89.
Beetlejuice, 88, right? So that would have been the 89. The 89 Academy Awards.
I'm going to go out on a limb. 89. That was probably a terrible year for acting.
Oh, actually,
it was born on the 4th of July.
Wait, okay, so wait, that's 1989. Okay, great. So, so that would
be
the 89 Academy Awards. Okay, you ready?
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Did Hoffman win for Rain Man?
Hoffman won for Rain Man.
Yeah. So that's, you're not going to.
He would have been a supporting actor that year, right? And Kevin Kline won for A Fish Called Wanda.
A comedy. All right. I'm just saying, who else is playing Beetlejuice?
I don't know.
Nobody's the answer to the question. So, he deserved a kind of, like, he's paid his dues, Keaton. He's kind of kept himself out of life, kept himself out of trouble. He did the right thing. And, you know, he'll never have another opportunity to get Best Picture. You can't, listen, Redmayne was great. I actually thought Cumberbatch could have won also. He was also imitating somebody, but, I mean, there wasn't much video footage of Alan Turing, and he was kind of doing it based on interviews, so.
Here we go. Best Supporting Actor for the 89 Oscars, okay? Kevin Kline wins for A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah. Great movie.
Alec Guinness is nominated for Little Dorrit. Martin Landau and Tucker, The Man and His Dream, River Phoenix, Running on Empty, and Dean Stockwell, Married to the Mob.
Well, I would give you, if you saw two other of those movies, I'll give you, I'll fly you over, I'll Venmo $50 to you right now. Married to the Mob, you probably saw.
No, I've only seen A Fish Called Wanda.
Okay, so,
and best actor that year, pretty good, Dustin Hoffman wins for Rain Man. Gene Hackman, Mississippi Burning. Tom Hanks nominated for Big. I didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
Edward James.
Well, he was awesome.
Edward James Olmos, Stand and Deliver. And Max von Sydow, which I've never heard of, as Pele the Conqueror.
Max von Sydow. Was he Swedish, I think, von Sydow? He was a. Have you ever seen the movie Minority Report?
Yes.
He's the bad guy, the old guy.
Oh, okay. Rain Man cleaned up that year. Best Picture, Best Director,
Barry Levinson, right?
And Best Screenplay.
Yeah, I love that. That's one of my kind of personal favorite movies. I don't know how well it kind of holds up. Maybe it doesn't hold up as well anymore, but I have a special. That was the first DVD I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah.
And Who Framed Roger Rabbit won 4 Oscars that year.
I just rewatched that movie. You know, if you haven't seen that movie recently, do yourself a favor.
It's great.
It's not only is it great, and it is, it's amazing. I know Jason's never seen him. I gotta get him up. Watch that movie, and the effects in that movie hold up better than most special effects movies hold up today.
Well, it won.
I guarantee you, the effects in that are better than Jupiter Ascending. I can put money on
that movie. Just looks so bad.
It won
the Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
Sure.
It won for sound effects editing. Which I don't even know if that's still a category.
Sound effects editing? I don't think so.
Sound effects editing. And it won for film editing.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's 3. It said it won 4. Where's the other one?
Hopkins wasn't nominated. How about that? Huh? Bob Hopkins wasn't nominated.
What's that?
Bob Hopkins wasn't nominated. Is that like the...
No, Bob Hoskins, who passed away last year. No, he was not. Huh. Interesting. All right, bud. Good stuff. Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm about to shout out some tacos here.
You are the first 3-time winner. You are what we are all chasing. We all want to be you. We all will bow down. When we convene this August in Burlington, Vermont. Wait, Keene, New Hampshire. Hold on a second. In Warwick, Rhode Island. No, hold on a second. In Storrs, Connecticut. No, wait. In Bangor, Maine. Where
Bangor,
are we
Maine,
going to have
up.
Draft this year?
That's the big question, Mark. That's the big thing. Mark has to send out that email. People got to make travel plans.
People need to make travel plans. In Nova Scotia, where there are huge Patriots fans, everybody get your passport today. All right, pal. Proud of you. You're the man. Happy birthday. What do we got for tacos real quick? Make us all jealous.
Just made myself some tacos over here. Just made it very simple. Red peppers, onions, turkey, some medium salsa, lettuce. And I doubled up. I got hard shell, soft shell action.
Oh, look at you.
Man, I went crazy with it.
Look at you. All right, pal. Appreciate the time. And
hey, you're the best.
We'll see you soon. All right, peace out.
All right, take care, brother.
Later.